Okay, so this is Martin Compton. I'm here with Marilyn and John. We're at College Northwest London. It's the 1st of July and we're talking about online safety, e-safety, data protection and all of that. Before I sort of drill into the specifics, perhaps you'd like to say what's the first thing that occurs to you when you think about data protection and online safety and all of that kind of thing? What occurs to you straight away?
I think of our work in college where we have so much information about students floating around, and I often worry about what happens to it, or if someone's just a little bit careless with something that they print off on the computer, and you know, information gets mislaid, and especially with youngsters, you have to talk about safeguarding. So we really do need to be careful with the stuff we download, who has access to the computers.
Do you think that teachers need more guidance on data protection?
I think they do. I think, I don't know what you think, John.
I agree with you. We've got a lot of personal information on students, but also we've got a lot of, not just details of where they live, which is obviously need to be private, we've got a lot of information on personal issues that might be necessary for us to be aware of. Very private stuff, some of it.
So it's fundamental that is locked down and secure. And you have a responsibility for that.
Yeah, we do. I mean, what I find particularly worrying is that quite often when we do work experience, and if we have students who, for whatever reason, can't be placed outside, or if we assume they are a liability, inverted commas, we can't send them out, we place them in college. And sometimes that means we give them access to the staff computers. And once they know, they just need to be a little bit sharp and they can be accessing all kinds of information about other students and making a real nuisance.
So that has to be policed very, very
That's true, because you're not just dealing with, say, adults who may have been trained in looking after confidential information. We may have quite youngsters who just assume I can look wherever I want to look.
Well, it's good to know that the policies are in place to monitor and police that. But you're right to express that worry that that could happen. And I think you're right that we need to remind people to about that in training all the time, not just once, but all the time, because it could be forgotten. And I share your concern, and it's good that you're worried about that. But it's good to know that those things are covered here. Let's turn to another issue that people often worry about when we talk about safeguarding, and that's cyberbullying. What's your understanding of what cyberbullying is?
I mean, in the news, you quite often see people who either hurt themselves or committed suicide or just abused other people. And obviously, with social media nowadays, that can go around the world, can't it? Mm-hmm. And anyone can participate, especially knowing that they may not, you know, it's not face-to-face, they're almost anonymous bullies, which encourages some people.
What always upsets me, the adults who think, oh, well, they should know there's an off button, there's an off switch. But it doesn't work that way with youngsters. They're so hooked on this thing. You know, sometimes they come to college late because they're up all night on Facebook or something ridiculous.
And one of the things in this college, and probably in London in general, is there is such a diversity of cultures and races. It's very easy for people to abuse or insult other cultures, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've got such an access online for us and the students, it's easy done, isn't it?
And it's permanent. It's not like a passing comment in the corridor can, you know, maybe a bit of fisticuffs and it's brushed over or, you know, laugh it off. It is there. It's a permanent record.
That's what always worries me about putting videos on Facebook. You know, you'll allow comments and some people will say nice things and other people, just sheer wickedness, will say horrible things. And, you know, that's just soul-destroying for the individual who's on Facebook. And, again, it's easy enough to say, oh, just switch it off. But youngsters, they don't do that. I think parents should know. There should be some kind of training for parents.
That's a good idea.
It's not just about the computer. The computer's off, they're fine. They've got their little mobile phones, they can access the internet, the same things. And some parents don't seem to realise that.
Do you think then it's a teacher's responsibility to remind students about things like if you're going to put a video on YouTube, turn the comments off.
Yeah, I think not just teachers, college-wide. It should be college policy that we train our students in e-safety. What do you think, John?
Well, as you can see walking around, we've got posters about treating people with respect.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's easy to do that while you're talking to people, but sometimes online people feel anonymous and hidden and they can think they can get away with it.
Mm.
Or they may not know how to prevent it themselves. Mm. You know?
So, I mean, we're enthusiastic on this course about technology, so it's important that we remind ourselves sometimes
what
some of these dangers are.
Mm-hmm.
But let's turn it a little bit more positive now. You know, people say that technology can make resources more inclusive. Could you perhaps think about an example of how a technology can make things more inclusive for a particular group or something like that? Can you think of any particular examples?
I suppose you could encourage people from different backgrounds to put something on the media about their culture and their background, and others can view it and compare it, discuss it.
So what tool would you use to do something like that? I can imagine lots of different ways of doing
it. Well, I suppose I'm familiar with YouTube. That's my most familiar one.
So embed videos or make a playlist of different things to do with where your family are from or an aspect of your culture. That's brilliant. That's not what I was thinking, actually, but that's brilliant. Mm. I was thinking more in terms of the technology itself.
What came to mind for me was just the fact that we have a lot of visually impaired students, and I'm always amazed, I don't teach it, when I walk past their classrooms, see them typing away, but they are able to access everything that seeing students are able to because of technology.
Right.
And especially when it comes to exams, there's a read-write app on the computer which reads the exam paper for them, and that way they are enabled to sit the exam without being disadvantaged.
Okay, we're just being joined by another colleague who wants to say something about her experiences of e-safety in the classroom. Please add a word.
Tell us, Geeta, about what you think about e-safety.
Yeah, how important is it to you?
Put me on the spot.
That's a very good point. It's a shame it wasn't picked up by the microphone. Just give us 1 minute. Okay, and then finally, just to round off, your own presence online. There's this concept of online professionalism, really important for teachers. What's your understanding of that?
Well, for me, having an online presence really, it just wasn't something that I'd thought of until I started this course. And, you know, what particularly struck me was you're saying that sometimes if you apply for a new job, they might look to see, you know, your presence online, what you do. And I thought long and hard about that. And now that I've created a blog, I'm able to say with pride, well, I've got a blog for my teenagers. And that's as far as I'm venturing at the moment. I also have a Twitter account. I need to be a bit more active with that. But it's knowing who to follow so that I look, you know, like an all-round professional, the way I would want to appear.
Mm-hmm.
And just so that it's not a silly little thing, in which case I'd have to use a completely different name.
Good.
Well, similar in a way. Before this e-learning course, my only online presence was Facebook, purely to keep in touch with my son when he's travelling. I was reluctant to use it because I never felt in full control. But obviously, with the e-learning, now I understand more about what I can do and what I can stop people doing, if you like. So I'm more in control, so I'm more likely to increase my use.
So you're engaging with it and you feel more in control. That's a really, I think that's a really, actually quite a positive way of concluding.
For myself, I feel that just this evening we learnt about push technology, and that's always been my fear with having a Facebook account, that I'd get all kinds of weirdos contacting me.
I mean,
I'm going to have to stop you there because we're just about to run out of time on this, but thank you very much for your contributions. That was very, very interesting.